For some people, it's hard to look in the mirror every morning and see that face that's staring back. Talk about shock therapy. Some days it's a heavy dose of things we'd like to forget. Are those really wrinkles? Look at those bags under those eyes. They can't. My nose is more crooked than it used to be. That really can't be me. Three chins, it used to just be two. And the older we get, it seems like the more we look at that mirror, we try to live in a state of denial. We just don't want to admit the things that are there. There was a lady one time who lived alone, and she was talking about all of her friends, and she was talking about all of her male friends. And she had several of them. One of them was named Charlie Horse. Another one was named Will Power. Another was named Arthur Itis. And one even named Ben Gay. She said, people are changing. People that are my age, they're so much younger than they used to be when I was young looking at them. And she told about running into a classmate in the grocery store. She said, she has aged so much, she didn't even recognize me. She said, I got to thinking about the poor thing while I was combing my hair this morning, and I glanced at my reflection, and I looked a little closer, and I looked a little closer, and I realized, they're just not making mirrors like they used to. That poor lady was in a state of denial. But to see ourselves as we really are is probably one of the most difficult things in the world. When we think about mirrors in our world, we realize they come in all shapes and sizes. I was talking about this at the nursing home this afternoon. Hey, and you did better than they did. They didn't laugh at that illustration, and you did. So I'm thankful for that. I tell you're listening. But we think about, I think about my mom used to have this little compact. Ladies, that is what you call it, right? Compact. A little mirror and got a little makeup in there and everything to go along with it. There's handheld mirrors. There are door-length mirrors, full-length mirrors. There are wall mirrors. So there's all kinds of mirrors, but they all do the same thing, and that is they reflect an image of us. We might not like it. I've learned to stay away from those wall mirrors. I tell you what, you know, it just, the older you get, you spread out a little bit, you just don't like those anymore. But all of these different mirrors, no matter the shape, they help us see what we really are. But more important than any of them is the mirror of the soul. The Bible talks about a mirror that helps us to see who we really are and what we really are on the inside. James talks about this in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 21 beginning, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It was like that lady who didn't want to look in the mirror. Everybody else is getting old, but I'm not. I don't want to look into the word of God and see who I really am. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, what is that? It's the word of God, right? And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so God has a mirror for us. In 1 Corinthians, actually 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, we find the necessity of looking in that mirror. Paul said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Pardon me. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying as we begin to imitate the Lord, we begin to look like him. And that is certainly our goal. So as we can see ourselves so clearly in the mirror every morning when we look, whether we like it or not, we might like even less what we see when we look into the Word of God, but hopefully that's not true. Hopefully when we look into the Word of God, we can see ourselves in a way that would be a blessing. And I just want to ask you a few questions in regard to what you see when you look into the mirror of God's Word. First of all, when I look into the mirror of God's Word, do I see myself as an unsaved person? Do I see myself as an unsaved person? Well, We cannot say that at some point in our lives we have not been an unsaved person. When we reach an age of accountability, that is, when we know the difference between right and wrong and we choose to do that which is wrong, we have sinned. Sin is a transgression of the law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. And once we transgress that law, we are guilty before God. And God said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. And so do I deceive myself into thinking, well, I'm just such a good person. I'm so much better than everybody else that everything is okay. I'm not a lost person. I'm not an unsaved person. But there's some things about human beings that we need to understand. And that is, there's more to us than just what we see in that mirror. We have another side. Remember in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, when the Lord was talking about creating man, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. Now, God does not have a physical body. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the eternal spirit that is created in and given to each one of us. The spirit that will last from now into eternity. Paul said in Acts 17, when he was preaching on Mars Hill at verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your poets also have said, for we are also his offspring." We are like God. We do not need to deceive ourselves into thinking that we're just like Rover. When we die, we'll be dead all over. Because there is a part of man that is different than the animal creation. And that is his eternal soul. John 4 and verse 24, the blanket statement, God is a spirit. And if we are created in his image, we are part spirit as well. Spirit does not have flesh and bones. In Luke 24 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." In Genesis 2 and verse 9, God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It means he literally had the breath of life. He became an animated being. But it was because he had an eternal spirit. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, Solomon said, "Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Judgment is going to come, not on our physical body, but on our spirit. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." And we're going to hear one of two statements in the judgment. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, we're going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or verse 41, we're going to hear, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." It's just that simple. We're going to hear one of those things. So we must ask ourselves, as we look into the mirror of God's word, can I honestly say that I am a saved person? That my sins are forgiven, that I stand righteously before God? I need to go to the word of God to establish that, and certainly I can. The Bible provides a very sad reflection for the unsaved person. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, we find that those who are lost will be, the Bible describes them as, the children of wrath. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12, listen to what Paul says about those who were now Christians, but about the state they had been in before this. He said, I said 1:12, Ephesians 2 and verse 12. He said, I'm going to back up to verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Then verse 12, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Having no hope. It is a reality that without Christ, without the salvation that we get through his blood, there is no hope. And so when we look into the mirror of God's word, we have to ask the question. The first question is, do I see myself as an unsaved person? Before I ever become a saved person, I will have to see myself that way. I will have to understand that the wages of sin is death, but that Christ has provided a way. By going to the cross, when we, through our faith in him, confess our faith in him and repent of our sins and are buried with him in baptism, that our past sins are washed away, we are raised to walk in newness of life, and we are added by the Lord to the church and translated into his kingdom. Acts 2, verses 37 through 47. Colossians 1, verse 13. Romans 6, 3 and 4. 1 Peter 3, 21. Acts 22, 16. And on we could go. But until I look into the mirror of God's word and realize that from the day that I understood the difference between right or wrong, and I chose to do wrong, violate the law of God, I have stood condemned unless I've obeyed the gospel of Christ and continue to walk in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. Well, second question that we might want to ask. Well, I mentioned that there's a very sad reflection of what's going to happen to those who are unsaved. But I'd want to also mention the fact before we move on that the Bible is very clear in telling us that God does want people to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, that God wants all men to be saved. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. That though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that what? That obey him. That obeyed him. Have we obeyed God's plan of salvation? Are we obeying him as we're living the Christian life? Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. So just as we have observed that there is a very bleak outlook for those who refuse to admit that they are lost without Christ, there is also the fact that Christ wants us to come to that knowledge. He wants us to see it and to understand it. So question number one, when I look into the mirror of God's word, do I see myself as an unsaved person? We will have to before we will do anything about it. Question number two, when I look into the mirror of God's word, do I see myself as a deceived person? Well, nobody wants to be deceived. But it does happen sometimes. Being deceived is possible. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. In other words, let him become a fool in the things of the world that he may become wise in the things of God. 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We can be deceived and we can be the root culprit. We can be the culprit that leads to it. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The deceived person, upon honest reflection, will see that not all roads do lead to heaven. Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Think about that. There's a way that seems right, but it's not. The only way we will ever know that it is right is if we prove it by the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 17, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. We have to be able to prove it, and we can. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth, he said, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. The question number three. When I look in the mirror of God's word, do I see myself as a worldly child of God? In Galatians 6, beginning of verse 7, remember what Paul said, the warning he gave? He said, be not deceived. Going back to deception again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For whosoever soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting or everlasting life. So what is he saying? God's not going to be deceived. We may deceive ourselves and think that we have fooled God, and as we try to fool ourselves and other people, but God will not be deceived. Right is right and wrong is wrong. It's just that simple. And we're not going to pull the wool over the Lord's eyes. But are we deceived by the ways of the world? In the account of the parable of the sower, according to Luke, in Luke 8 and verse 14, Jesus said, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit unto perfection. He basically said they're worthless. Why? They receive the word, It's the person who obeys the gospel and then thinks, you know, well, I'd have more fun sitting on the lake on Sunday than assembling with the saints, even though we're told not to forsake the assembling, Hebrews 10:25. Person who said, I'd be more happy sitting up in a tree stand in the wintertime than worshiping with my brethren. I'd be happier going to parties than going to Bible studies. I'd be happier doing all of these worldly things than doing anything that is spiritual. Don't ask me to attend a ladies' day or a gospel singing or a gospel meeting or vacation Bible school. Don't bother me with all of those things. My favorite TV show is coming on, even though in the summer it'll all be reruns. But I've got something else, this worldly, that I want to do that I will put in place of or ahead of the things of God. Am I a worldly person? John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 2 John 2, verses 15 through 17. There's a very simple litmus test. We just ask ourselves the question, do I talk like the world? Paul said, let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Ephesians 4:28. So I need to, am I talking like the world? Do I curse like the world? Do I use off-color language like the world? Do I tell dirty jokes like the world? Do I live like the world? I mentioned this afternoon, summer's coming on, the clothes are coming off. We were up in Walmart the other night, and a lady came in, and there just wasn't any covering there really at all. Are we like the world? Are we going to allow ourselves to become a stumbling block to someone else? To cause someone else to lust, which could cost them their soul? Am I that tied up in myself? Worried about look at me for the way I look or look at me for who I am? The Christian says, look at me for who I am. Look at me for what I am on the inside. Look at me as a Christian. Do I talk like the world? Do I dress like the world? In general, we could just simply say, do I act like the world? If I do, then I'm worldly. I'm a worldly Christian. But the good news is, I don't have to be. We don't have to be worldly Christians. It's a choice, and it's ours to make individually. Fourth question, and finally, when I look into the mirror of God's Word, do I see myself as a faithful Christian? When people look at the Word, they have a privilege, but they also have a duty and a responsibility to follow the path that God has laid before us. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119 and verse 11. The introductory psalm, Psalm 1, begins at verse 1 by saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the background of Psalm 119:11. The point is, I put the things of God before the things of the world, before the things of men. When saints read about the Word of God, Jesus the Christ, and they read his Word, they see that there are blessings and benefits that are peculiar to the faithful child of God. Jesus talked about that in John 10 and verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus isn't saying he's going to make everybody rich, give us all the luxuries of the world. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give meaning and purpose to your life. And in giving meaning and purpose to your life, I'll bring you peace, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. When saints read the Word of God, they see that when life on this earth ends, they're not going to be disappointed. Remember what John said in Revelation 14 and verse 13. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, James said, deceiving your own selves. When we look into God's word, we see that which is the mirror of the soul, which is so much more important than the thing hanging on our bathroom wall. When you look into that thing hanging on the bathroom wall, you may say, wow, you know, a little sagging here, a little wrinkling over here, and things I can't change, can't really do a whole lot about it. I'm looking at things that don't make me happy. But the thing about looking into the mirror of the Word of God is I can change. I can change from that which is dark and that which is ugly into that which is bright and pure and beautiful. Because I can change who I am through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. When I do that, and when I do prove all things, I will know the truth. The truth will make me free. And I can take that part of me that was ugly on the inside and that was lost on the inside. I can take that, and by the grace of God, I can make it something beautiful, something that is saved, that has purpose and meaning, and that has hope. And that has hope. Be a doer, not a hearer only. The mirror of God's word lets us take a realistic look at ourselves on the inside. And if there's something that needs to be changed, we have time to do it. If we could help you make that change, whatever it might be, would you come as we stand and as we sing?